everyone this evening that's here, and I don't know if there's others on the way or not, but the Lord bless those that's here. Praise God. We're going to continue on anyhow. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 4, verse 20 to 26. Of Daniel chapter 4, and this is the interpretation that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar of the dream. And it's called the tree dream. Praise God. And there was a massive accident on the road. The ending had put it up on the site, the church, the WhatsApps. Brian's planting. There's been two accidents today, so people could be coming and just held up a bit. But praise God. And we're going to pray for whatever's happened as well. You know, we just need the Lord, don't we, even on the roads. The roads are so dangerous, praise God. Verse 20 then of Daniel chapter 4. The tree that thou sawest which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, an holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth. Even with a brand of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Let's just bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank thee and praise thee this evening for thy mercy and for thy grace. We thank thee that thou hast brought us again into thy house to hear the word of God. And we do sincerely pray for those who are involved in this accident. We ask for your mercy upon every one of them and your grace. And Lord, that you'll just have control and just, Lord, that everything will be all right in Jesus Christ's name. And perhaps for people on their way, that you'll bless them and protect them and just watch over them. And bless each one that's here tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you how you've kept us and how you've looked after us. For Lord, we would have fallen and been cast down, but for your mercy. We thank you for your mercy tonight. Father, bless the word till our hearts tonight, and bless your people, I pray, and touch lives and hearts this evening in this house and anywhere that would hear this word. And Lord, give me the words to speak, only the words you want spoken, Lord. Don't let me say anything that you don't want said, Lord. And I just ask for your help, the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless the service and bless this message to your people. And may they be encouraged and strengthened from these words tonight and challenged in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. From the interpretation, the king could not mistake the meaning of the dream that Daniel, the faithful prophet, had he stood before him. And he took this opportunity as an advantage, Daniel did. He took this opportunity to counsel the king to forsake his sinful ways. So even though Daniel knew the interpretation and Daniel knew what was coming, and this stump of a tree is King Nebuchadnezzar in this interpretation that God's telling him this is you, Nebuchadnezzar, And because you've been filled with pride, and though you've done all these great things, and though you've been a ruler over all the province of Babylon, and though you're a man feared over the whole world, yet you're going to be brought down and cut off like a stump, and you're going to crawl the ground like a beast and like a wild animal. You're going to be an insanity. And we're going to see that tonight. And Daniel knows this, and Daniel takes this opportunity that the king would consider his ways and repent of his sins and turn to the Lord. In verse 27, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of thy tranquility." And I tell you, Daniel wants him to do good here. Daniel wants him to show mercy and favor to others. And Daniel wants him to forsake his sins and to seek righteousness. I tell you, that's the message of the gospel today to the whole world out there. To all the world that's dying today, to every man and woman today, they need to forsake their sins and seek after righteousness. And we know tonight that that righteousness is found in only one person. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that person. When you see this dream fulfilled, but the king did not take Daniel's advice, later had to make the humiliating confession that all he had been foretold about him had come to pass, all of it, everything. But it did not come at once. God gave him a year's grace. A year passed from the interpretation, a year's grace, but yet in the year, what did he do? And the Bible says, God calleth once, yet twice, but yet man hardeneth his heart. And you know, a man or a woman can hear the gospel, they can hear the message of salvation, and they can hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it. What do they do about it? And I tell you, this man heard the message. Daniel was clear. And in a year's grace. But it didn't come to pass at once. A full year. Nebuchadnezzar may have thought that Daniel was mistaken. Might have thought that. But he should have known from the previous visions and dreams that Daniel interpreted that every single one of them was exactly, thus saith the Lord, that every single one of them came to pass exactly the way Daniel said. He should have knew that this was going to happen if Daniel said it. For Daniel was in fact God's mouthpiece to this king. And we know that a prophet is God's mouthpiece. I know that he maybe thought, you know, God's forgotten about it. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar thought God had forgotten. But at the end of 12 months, as the king was walking in his palace and beheld the great city of Babylon as it spread out before him from his palace window, he exclaimed in his pride in verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" He was glorified in what he seen that he had made. And maybe a brother will show us some of the great buildings and the things, and I'll mention them as I go. He was admiring the great city he had built, and they found a stone today, and there's inscriptions on the very stones that they found. And it's not hard to find it. You can go on and look these things up, and they remain to this day as an evidence that these things in this Bible are true. And many people are trying to disprove the Bible, but even archaeologists today in their findings are proving that the Bible's right. Because God's never without a witness. There are frequent mentions of the great building of Babylon in the ancient literature. And an inscription, and listen to this, in an inscription recounting an expedition to Syria, Nebuchadnezzar wrote this: "I have made the city of Babylon to the foremost of all the countries ever human inhabitation, for every human inhabitation. Its name I have made elevated to the most worthy of praise among the sacred cities." I tell you, he was lifted up, wasn't it? He was lifted up with his pride. He was lifted up with what he had made. But he forgot that God was the one that placed him where he was. God's the one that sets up men. God's the one that brings down men. And you know, it's God that uses men. We've saw men in this country.
And people hated them. They hated their guts. But God blessed them. And God prospered them. And God used them. And there's nothing nobody could do about it, for the Lord was with them.
And I tell you, when God's with a man, who can be against that man? But when God turns against a man, he's in trouble. And we saw this morning how these watchers came with a message down from heaven. Look at these buildings. Babylon was one of Nebuchadnezzar's principal occupations. And inscriptions for about 55 buildings projects have been found, usually made of brick and sometimes of stone. This is what they found today. 50 different buildings that they know he made or had made. Usually made of brick or stone. Among the wonders of Nebuchadnezzar's creation were the famous hanging gardens, regarded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
And these hanging gardens, let me give you an example. John will know about this because he's been there. But there's things in the world that are outstanding. And me and Jill and John had the privilege, we were in Singapore. And if you ever see the photographs of Singapore, I went to the top of this thing, scared the life out of me. There's a thing like a boat. Do you remember how far it's up, John?
Yes, the San Marino Hotel.
San Marino Hotel. Look on the internet, you see it.
Sorry, Conway, it's a swimming pool on the roof.
Swimming pool? How many flights up was it? It was massive. This thing was as afraid to go up it. I've been honest about it. When I got to the top, I was afraid to look over. There's a swimming pool on the top of this. It looks like a boat. Go on the internet and you'll see it. And when you stand on the top of it, you can look off it and you can see the F1 racing track. It's great. I like that bit. I even seen the Ferrari when I was over there. Got a photograph with it. Rare had the Mercedes, mind you, but nevertheless. But you can see it. But it's something spectacular. And these things that Nebuchadnezzar made were spectacular, so much so that they're named as one of the great seven wonders of the ancient world. That's how good they were. I tell you, it must have been something. And here it is, look at this. This is just a photograph of these gardens. And this is only one of the many of the gardens that he had, that he built. Regarded as one of the wonders. What Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten, that none of this would be possible apart from the sovereign will of God. It was the sovereign will of God that prospered him to do this, but he forgot that. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that standeth, he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." That was the fatal moment. The time of probation was up. God warned him, and God told him, and he gave him yet a year. He done nothing to make a change in the year, so the prophecy was immediately brought to pass. Think of Noah's ark. Noah preached for 120 years. Noah built the ark, and God closed the door to the ark, and the ark never moved because it couldn't move. There was no rain for 7 days. Not one drop of rain for 7 days. The ark was closed. Look, when you get this number seven, we're going to look at it a bit, just briefly. Because you could take meetings on the number seven. Why was it 7 days? God's number seven, I hope you know that, because God rested on the seventh day.
Yes, no.
He did it all in six and rested on the seventh.
Mm-hmm. Revelation tells us the seven church ages, seven angel messengers, seven seals, seven vials, seven trumpets, all seven.
There's so many sevens in the Bible.
And I tell you, this man's been told, you're going to have 7 years where you're a lunatic. You're going to go insanity, a beast of the field. He's going to lose his mind for 7 years. And this has been told him. The prophet Daniel showed him this. The prophet Daniel's told him this. And he said, a year's grace. The probation time's up and he's done nothing.
Look at him. I mentioned it this morning when Abraham started the bargain with God. And Abraham there was a type of Christ. Somebody knows that. If there's 50, if there's 40, you know the story. And there was only 4 souls saved. And they were warned and they were told. And you know, Lot didn't just walk out. The Bible says the angels brought them out. They brought them out.
Thank God. Even if some of us are stubborn, God can still bring us out.
Amen? Thank God for that.
Daniel verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and the dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat the grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know not that till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And seven times means 7 years in the Bible. 7 years. Just imagine 7 years like an ox. 7 years in sin. 7 years till his nails grew out. Till his hair grew out like the eagle's feathers. The Bible tells you that. When you read on down the verse 33, if a brother puts it up, you're reading it like claws. Imagine you never cut your nails. Imagine that you never done anything with your hair. Imagine you never washed yourself. Only that you haven't washed you. It stank like a billy goat. That's the truth. You'd be like, we say over here in Ireland, you smell like a badger. And you know that's not good.
But that's the way he was. An animal.
The sentence was immediately executed. Immediately. Not another moment of grace was given to this king. The same hour was a thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men into deep grass as an oxen, verse 33. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown out like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. The type of insanity that befell Nebuchadnezzar is a disease called lycanthropy. I can't even pronounce it right. Who's ever heard of that? Lycanthropy, it means insanity. Terrible thing. You said, did anybody ever have that before? Yes. I'll show you it in a moment. Just give me a moment. And I'll show you there was men had it before, but Jesus cured them. I tell you, the Lord's wonderful. In which the patient imagines that he is some sort of a beast. Nebuchadnezzar imagined he was an ox. He was not confined, but was allowed to roam in the fields, for we are told that he did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Insanity. In Matthew 6, verse 28, and Mark 5, verse 2, and Luke 8, verse 27, it's the same story, but I believe it is different occasions, for there was a man in the land of the Gadarenes, a madman, a maniac. And the Bible says that no one could pass that way. He was amongst the tombs and he was naked. They tied him and they bound him with chains and he broke the chains asunder. He was possessed by a legion of demons, and that means an army which can be 600 or more. Can be in the thousands. Devils possessed him. But when Jesus passed by, something happened. The devils in that man recognized the anointing on the Lord Jesus, and they fell before him and they said, we know thee who thou art, thy Son of God, art thou come to torment us before the time. And Jesus commanded them to go out of him and into the beast, and the pig chain ceased. Because they were drowned. How many knows that's right? And what do you read? Of that man that was a madman. Here's what you read. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. Isn't that wonderful? That's the power of God. Now Nebuchadnezzar, God's telling Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have 7 years, but at the end of it, God was going to restore him. At the end of it, he would come to the senses and praise the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar's insanity lasted for 7 years. For this is what the seven times mean. The period is not without prophetical significance. They've already mentioned it in Revelations. The 70 weeks of Daniel. 3.5 years of sorrow. 3.5 years of tribulation. That's what's coming. I know we preach 3.5 years left, but what about 3.5 of sorrow? You know, some of the old brethren preachers could nail all that out perfectly. They could. I don't know if you ever heard of that. And a lot of other groups as well used to preach these things a lot. I was talking to the brethren man
quite a time back, and I said, do you still preach the rapture? And he says, some of them do and some of them don't. It's like a brother Gary mentioned about the three wee pigs. They used to get eight or whatever, but they don't get eight no more. See, people's changed, but God's words never changed. Seven.
Daniel 70 weeks, Revelation, seven churches, seven seals, seven vials. And you know them vials is the outpouring of God's wrath. Them seven vials is like what happened to Israel when they were in bondage. How many knows about that?
The plagues.
And then the seven trumpets. And a lot of these things are to Israel. They're not to the church. They're to Israel. Now we want to see this king's recovery. In verse 34 of Daniel 4, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding was returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? He's praising God.
And as quick as he was driven out, and as quick as an insanity came upon him, God, in the fulfillment of the 7 years, delivers him.
Delivers him.
And I tell you, you know, Israel tonight's blind. But we know according to this Bible, when the time comes, God will visit Israel and save them in one day. And just do it as quick as that.
And I tell you, God did it with this man, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven.
I tell you, I don't believe he's just looking at the clouds. I believe he lifted his eyes to the Almighty God. I believe he now recognizes the one true God, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's no longer taken up with a man, but he's taken up with a God of the man. And that's a great thing there. There's a lot of people today, and they're taken up with great men. That's a mistake. God uses great men, but not that we worship the man, but that we worship and give all the glory to Almighty God.
He'll give us glory to no other. And any true man of God will tell you that. He'll tell you, don't look to me, I'm just your brother. Look to the Lord. It's the Lord that does it. Now you know that a beast doesn't lift its head up like that, particularly the same oxen. That an oxen doesn't lift his head up like that. This is a sign of worship. You know, the eagle lifts his head up. The eagle lifts his head up. And when you heard Brother Bob preaching that tremendous message, it's on our website about the eagle. And he said he watched those eagles and they lift their head to heaven and they scream out and tears come down their eye because they're acknowledging Almighty God. That's a sign of the eagles, God's eagles. That you lift yourself to God. And it's good to weep, you know. Weeping, but there's joy in the morning. Amen. Amen. Look at this. What Nebuchadnezzar meant, really, he looked up to the Almighty in heaven in sincere prayer. He acknowledged his supremacy, that God's supreme. And during that, his region was restored and he was fit to resume his kingly duties. He was brought back into power.
Now, you could go into the history of this. I didn't want to bore you with all the stuff tonight. But there's one of his sons, they say, was an evil boy.
And they say they were glad to get rid of him. That he was looking after this kingdom for the 7 years when Nebuchadnezzar was gone out wild. They say they were glad to get rid of him. And Nebuchadnezzar was reinstated straight away.
Now, you could go into all the history. 2 Kings 25 talks about his name. The evil, I think I had a wrote down somewhere, I might get it in a moment. Evil Mordak. The evil Morodak he's called. 2 Kings.
Now you read on of another king, and his name is almost the same as Daniel's name given him by King Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar. And this other king is near the same name. Later on you'll see it, and they say he's a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar.
And the thing that intrigued me, how did he get that name? It's almost identical to the name Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel. Now, I can't go into that tonight, but I think there's something in it. I don't think there's no mistakes anywhere and things like that. There's something in it.
Daniel, look at this, Daniel, verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I can Nebuchadnezzar praise, extol, and honour the King of heaven. He's no longer talking about the gods. He's had a change here. He's no longer talking about the gods, but he's talking about the King of heaven. Thank God for the change. And many times God has to let someone go, as it were.
Yes, amen.
He lets them go and it looks as if it's all out of control. But it's God's hand in it. And then he can just change them like that. And he did it with Nebuchadnezzar. Do you ever hear people saying, you know, when you witness to somebody, whether it's your brother or relation, and you've heard me maybe mention it before, am I praying for somebody and they got worse? They went clean daft, they got worse. And then after a while, God saved them. The devil doesn't want to let go, you see. Thank God the gospel power breaks his chains. Verse 37. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to the base. And he knew now what he's talking about. He had experienced himself the mighty hand of Jehovah. He had experienced himself how God worked on him. And I tell you, it's one thing to read someone in a book. But to actually experience God for yourself, that's what we want. Every one of us need to experience God for ourselves in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in our lives. The same as getting saved. We need to experience Christ as our Savior. Accept Him and believe Him and call upon Him and receive Him. And thank God when you experience it, you'll know there's a change. For the Bible says you become a new creature. And I think it's true to say here, Nebuchadnezzar was changed like a new creature in Christ Jesus. God had done something in this man. 7 years it took. 7 years in an animal. 7 years with his hair like the eagle's feathers and his clothes grew out. But God transformed him. From a wild beast to the child of the king. That's our God. Nebuchadnezzar's restoration to his kingly rights was in fulfillment of the promise that his insanity should not last more than 7 years. You see, when God gives numbers and things, now there's a problem here as well. I want to say this tonight. There's a problem when people interpret scripture and they think they'll set a number when the Lord will come and put a date on it. That's a problem. Because it will never happen like that. These numbers, you just have to tick them away they are. Don't try to be too smart. And when people get too smart and they set dates, God won't do it like that. Now this is specific 7 years God done that. But for the second coming of the Lord, there's no date set. There's no date set for the second coming of the Lord. And I saw a man of God preach recently. He had it up on a poster. Just saw it recently, just a bit of it. And he said the question Jesus couldn't answer. You say, what will that be? When are you coming? No man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. That was his title, what he preached about the second coming. It was a good title to draw attention. See, if you're an evangelist, you have to go over a bit just to draw the attention. I thought it was good. Only the Father knows when he'll come. Now, we've all, I'm sure, met people that know when the Lord's coming. I have. But they were wrong. I can tell you now they were wrong. But there's one thing we know tonight, we need to be ready. That's the main thing, to be ready. The kingdom should then be made sure or restored in verse 26 of Daniel. You can read verse 25 and verse 26. Now during his insanity, his son Evil Mordach And you can read about him in 2 Kings chapter 25. I didn't want to take the time tonight because I want to keep it short tonight because I want to pray for people, anyone that wants prayer. But you can read about him. He was evil. Look at his name. Mm-hmm. His name. Evil. Moradak. It's said to have reigned as regent in his stead. The fact that Nebuchadnezzar was graciously received back by the counselors and lords is an indication that they looked upon his insanity as only temporary. And I think they were glad to get rid of this other boy because he was evil. Verse 25, the day shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat the grass of an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. So it'll only be for the 7 years, and you'll come back. And God took the 7 years. They say Nebuchadnezzar only lived about a year after his restoration to his throne. But it was a year during which great honors were heaped upon him and in which he glorified God. He did more to glorify God in the year than he had did in all his reign. Isn't that something? That's a bit like Samson. Samson slew more of God's enemies at his death than he did in his whole lifetime. I tell you, if we can just get with God, God will do more with a man or a woman in the spirit in 5 minutes than we could do in 40 years of our own self. I'm going to quote you what a famous preacher said, Joseph Smith, the Pentecostal preacher, not the Joseph Smith of the Mormons, but Pentecostal, an old preacher. Brother John knows him, some of the rest might have heard of him. I always say this, I couldn't remember where it come from, but this saying came from him. He said that Moses was 40 years learning to be an Egyptian. And then he says Moses was the next 40 years on the backside of the desert learning to be a nobody. And then he says Moses was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. And I tell you, God is everybody. He's our source and he's our strength tonight. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he's our coming King. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. Maybe the musicians could come. And if they want, just play softly. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this evening for your precious word. Lord, we would ask this evening that thou would confirm thy own word with signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Father, we thank thee for the conversion of this great king. For all his life he preached pagan gods and worshipped them, and caused multitudes of people to bow down before false images. But Lord, you dealt with them. You dealt them a mighty blow. And you brought them down from a great pinnacle of glory to an oxen to eat grass. Then, Lord, you restored them. And you brought them out of his insanity and renewed his thinking and renewed his mind. Caused them to praise the one true God, the God of all heaven. Lord, we've come to worship you tonight. We've come to praise you tonight. We've come to say we love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. We thank you this evening for the greatest battle that ever was fought was at Calvary. And you conquered that old serpent, the devil. And you defeated death, hell, and the grave. And you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty in High tonight. And you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Father, bless us now. Touch people's lives now. Come into this meeting with the power of the Holy Ghost now. Let us feel your presence now, Lord. Bless the musicians. Bless the song leader. Bless your people in this house. We know for two or three is gathered in your name that you're in the midst of that to bless. Lord, if there's someone listening in that needs a touch from heaven, may the power of the Holy Spirit touch them now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we reverence you. We exalt you. We praise you. We say there's none like the Lord, but surely doeth wondrous things. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Father, close us in for the time we have sat tonight. For a moment before we leave, Lord, I want you to touch lives. I want you to touch hearts. I want you to move amongst us this evening. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let us stand on our feet. I want a brother just to sing whatever he feels led for a moment. And then I'm going to ask any that wants prayer to come. And I'm going to ask the elders to come. I know my dad's not here tonight. But a brother John can come. Maybe a brother Samuel as well have come. So my dad's not here. And I want you to pray for those that want prayer tonight. I want you to believe God's going to do something for you. Praise God. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Praise God.